It's July 1st, 2002, 36,000 feet above Lake Constance, on the border between Germany and Switzerland. A Bashkirian Airlines Tupolev 154 is cruising eastbound with 69 people aboard, including 45 children on their way to a summer camp in Spain. A DHL Boeing 757 cargo jet is crossing its path on a climbing track. The closure rate between the two aircraft is approaching 900 miles per hour. They have seconds. In the cockpit of the Tupolev, two things happen at almost the same instant. The controller at Zurich Area Control Center comes on the radio and tells the crew to descend. And then the aircraft's traffic collision avoidance system issues a resolution advisory. Climb. The crew follows the controller. 71 people die. I'm Vector on Clear Direct here on Radio Hangar. What happened above Lake Constance that night changed cockpit automation training in ways that are still being felt today. We're going to break it all down, starting with the technology, because you cannot understand the accident without understanding how the system works. TCAS stands for Traffic Collision Avoidance System. In the United States, the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, requires most commercial transport and large turbine aircraft to carry TCAS 2, the full system that generates maneuver commands. Smaller general aviation aircraft often carry TCAS 1, which gives you traffic advisories, but stops short of telling you which way to move the airplane. Both systems work by interrogating the transponders of nearby aircraft, listening for replies, and computing the relative geometry of surrounding traffic in real time. Here is the basic architecture. Your TCAS unit sends out interrogation signals on 1090 MHz, the same frequency your transponder uses when radar queries it. Other aircraft equipped with Mode C or Mode S transponders reply automatically. Your system collects those replies, calculates range and altitude, and builds a continuous track on each nearby target. When a conflict is detected, TCAS generates one of two types of alert. The first is a traffic advisory. Pilots call it a TA. It lights up the display, sounds the traffic audio alert, and gives you a visual reference on your cockpit display. You start looking for the intruder. The system is not commanding you to move yet, it is cueing your attention. A resolution advisory is something entirely different. An RA is the system telling you what to do with the airplane, right now. Not after you consult the chart, not after you talk to air traffic control, or ATC, the RA arrives with a specific vertical instruction. Climb, climb, descend, descend, maintain vertical speed. Sometimes, don't descend. The symbology on your vertical speed indicator shows the band to stay in, or the band to avoid. You maneuver to comply, and you do it within about 5 seconds of the advisory. Now, here's the piece of this technology that I find genuinely remarkable from an engineering standpoint. When two TCAS-equipped aircraft generate a conflict, the two systems communicate directly with each other, aircraft to aircraft, over the transponder datalink. They coordinate, one system issues a climb advisory. And at the same moment, it tells the other aircraft's TCAS to issue a descent advisory. The advisories are always complementary. You will not get two aircraft both commanded into the same vertical maneuver on a converging track. The systems negotiate in about 1/10 of a second. No human controller in the loop can do that. ATC works with radar sweeps that update every 4 to 12 seconds, depending on the facility. TCAS is running a continuous real-time geometry calculation and coordinating between aircraft in less time than it takes a controller to form a sentence. Let me bring in a word from our supporters before we get into what went wrong over Lake Constance. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last, AviationSoul.com. So back to the night of July 1st, 2002. It is shortly before midnight local time. The Bashkirian Airlines Tupolev 154, callsign BTC 2937, is at flight level 360 on a charter flight from Moscow to Barcelona, 69 souls on board, ADHL Boeing 757. Callsign DHX 611 is a cargo flight crossing the same altitude. The Zurich Area Control Center is managing both aircraft. That night, the facility is operating short-staffed. One controller is working the sector alone while a colleague is in another room dealing with equipment. The ground-based conflict alert system had been generating nuisance alarms and was not being watched closely. The conflict was eventually flagged, but the call to the Tupolev crew came late. The controller tells BTC 2937 to descend. descend to flight level 350, immediately, and at very nearly the same moment, the Tupolev's TCAS issues its resolution advisory, climb. The DHL 757 crew has already received the complimentary advisory from their TCAS, descend. They push the nose over immediately. The Bashkirian crew follows the controller. They push the nose over too. Two aircraft, same vertical maneuver, on a converging track. 8 seconds later, they collide at approximately 35,000 feet. 69 people on the Tupolev, 2 on the DHL aircraft, 71 fatalities. The German Accident Investigation Board concluded that a primary cause was the crew's choice to follow the ATC descent instruction rather than the TCAS climb advisory. The controller's error was also a contributing cause, and there were systemic failures in the ATC environment that night. But the investigation made a specific and critical finding. The TCAS RA had given the correct answer. If the Tupolev crew had climbed while the DHL crew descended, the aircraft would have separated. The system worked. The crew did not follow it. Why? This is where human factors research after Oberlingen gets uncomfortable. First, authority. Pilots are conditioned from their earliest training to follow ATC. The voice on the radio represents the controlling authority over the airspace. Overriding a human instruction based on a machine command requires a deeply and explicitly trained habit. In 2002, that training was inconsistent, particularly in Russian-flagged aviation operations. The doctrine of following controllers was deeply embedded. Second, the timing. The ATC call and the TCAS RA arrived nearly simultaneously. The crew was already processing the controller's instruction when the system spoke. The human instruction had a head start cognitively. Third, the visual environment. It was nighttime. The crew could not see the DHL aircraft from their position. The TCAS display was the only indication of where the conflict was developing geometrically. The accident reshaped the guidance from the International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, in ways that are now non-negotiable. When you receive a resolution advisory from TCAS-2, you comply immediately. You do not weigh the ATC instruction against the RA. You do not ask for confirmation. The RA wins. After you are established in the maneuver and the conflict is resolving, you advise ATC. The phrasing that most operators use is unable, TCAS-RA, short, informative. Then you fly the advisory. The phrase that simulator instructors use today is direct. TCAS wins, not because the box is always smarter than the controller, but because by the time you have an RA, you are in a collision geometry situation where the system is doing a calculation no human can perform in the time available. ATC does not have the resolution, the update rate, or the aircraft-to-aircraft coordination that TCAS has in those final seconds. The data tells an interesting story about how effective this got from the mid-1990s, as TCAS-2 was phased into widespread use across commercial aviation. Mid-air collisions between large aircraft in controlled airspace essentially disappeared in regions with high equipage rates. The FAA and ICAO have both credited TCAS-2 as one of the most impactful safety interventions in aviation history. The numbers support that. Now let's talk about where the technology is going, because TCAS-2 is mature technology built on standards from the 1980s. The next generation is called ACAS-X, which stands for Airborne Collision Avoidance System X. The X is deliberate. This is a fundamentally different computational approach. TCAS-2 uses deterministic logic tables. The engineers built a lookup table of encounter geometries and pre-calculated the correct maneuver for each scenario. If the geometry looks like this, issue this RA. The problem with lookup tables is they do not handle novel encounter types gracefully, and airspace is getting more complicated. Unmanned aircraft are entering controlled airspace at scale. Electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft have flight profiles that did not exist when the original TCAS design space was defined. Traffic density in certain corridors is increasing. ACSX uses a probabilistic optimization algorithm instead. It builds a real-time probabilistic model of the encounter, accounts for uncertainty in sensing and aircraft performance, and optimizes the commanded maneuver across a distribution of possible futures. The FAA has been developing this system for over a decade in collaboration with MIT Lincoln Laboratory. There are several variants worth knowing about. ACSX-SA is the version intended for large commercial aircraft to eventually replace TCAS-2. ACSSO is designed for oceanic operations where reduced separation standards are used. ACSU is the unmanned aircraft variant, built for drones and larger UAS operating in the national airspace. An ACS-XP is a passive system designed for general aviation that works with ADS-B out-equipped aircraft. That last one is potentially significant for the general aviation community. ACS-ESP does not require an active interrogator. It listens to ADS-B broadcasts, builds the traffic picture from that data, and generates advisories. The hardware footprint is smaller. The cost could be meaningfully lower than a full TCAS installation. The FAA has been clear that ACS-XP is not yet certified or mandated, and the rulemaking process will take time. But the research indicates it can provide conflict alerting and resolution guidance to light aircraft operators who currently have traffic displays with no maneuver coordination at all. Here's what most people miss about the deeper architecture of all of these systems. The resolution advisory is not simply advice. It is one side of a coordinated solution. When your aircraft's TCAS issues an RA, it has simultaneously communicated to the other aircraft's TCAS what your airplane is going to do. The other aircraft is maneuvering based on that information. If you deviate from the commanded maneuver, you break the coordination. You have introduced uncertainty into a system that was converging toward a solution that kept both aircraft safe. That is the engineering point that Überlingen forces you to internalize. Compliance is not optional, and it is not just about your safety. It is about not undermining the coordination the two systems are executing together. If you fly behind TCAS 2 today, build the response into your scan the way you build anything else critical, deliberately and repeatedly. The RA is not a suggestion. It is a commanded maneuver from a system that has better data, faster processing, and direct coordination with the other aircraft than anyone else in the picture does at that moment. Fly it, tell ATC, sort out the paperwork later. 24 years after a summer charter flight and a cargo jet collided above a lake in southern Germany, the lesson is still being drilled in simulators on every continent. The box knows the geometry. When it tells you to climb, you climb. Sources today include the German Accident Investigation Report on the Überlingen collision, FAA advisory circulars on TCAS operations, MIT Lincoln Laboratory technical publications on ACAS-X development, and the ICAO-ACAS manual. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Fly safe.